Cindy and I were out eating the other day, and I stopped, and she said, "Well, what's the matter?" And I said, "You know, I'm Russian. I don't know if you find yourself woofing a meal down like somebody's going to take it from you. But I, as I thought about tonight, one of the things that I've realized that that's not the only place that I do that rushing. I think many times, and say this tonight to encourage you as well as maybe, be encouraged from the standpoint that there's many times we do that with, or let me say it this way. I'm going to preach to myself tonight, and you're welcome to listen, because I find myself doing that very thing of rushing more than just a meal. And I want to look at a topic tonight on the aspect of worship is discipline. Imagine with me the Hemis household, I'm going to say many years ago. the alarm goes off, get up Sunday morning and get going with all the things of a morning on Sunday. Get the kids up, rush through breakfast. Now, at our house, it's been a joy, but we've always enjoyed Sunday is our family meal. And so I would end up, while Cindy takes care of the kids, I would, by her instructions, put the meal together. But when things are going, you hear Cindy yell, "Go get dressed." A few minutes later, you hear, "I can't find my Sunday socks," or "Where's my clothes?" By the time we get everything all together and in the car and on the way to church, we make it just in time to sit down and sigh. We got here. What I want to do tonight is look at this aspect of worship and think about it from the standpoint of how we look at worship and be prepared to worship. But before we do, let's go to the Lord tonight. Lord, thank you for your grace. God, I just ask that you would work in each of our hearts. I do want to remember the Dury family tonight. God, I just... You know the difficulties, even as Pastor spoke this morning, many times we're not prepared for things that you bring our way and question whether or not it's of you, and yet all things are for your good and for your glory. And God, I pray that you would meet their needs tonight. Be with Carla, God, that you would minister to her. Thank you for our time tonight, Lord, as we look into your word and, Lord, look at this topic of worship. Pray, God, that you would minister to each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Back a couple of months ago, David had asked some of us men to consider speaking while Pastor was doing his Sunday messages or Sunday school messages on parenting. And it was very interesting how God puts things together, because I was struggling thinking that I did want to share, but really I think that a lot of times the biggest thing is what do I share? And David was speaking on a message in Ecclesiastes, talking about the warning of false worship. That same week, in my personal study, worship came up and confronted me with the whole aspect of this topic. What is worship? Why did I come to worship? Is it out of habit? Is it out of guilt? Why do we worship? Is God for man? Is worship for man or is it for God? I think we have this philosophy today that instills a self-centeredness that is tragic. Services have become an entertainment, not worship. I just recently finished the teaching series on Courage in the Ordinary, and the author of Ordinary, Michael Horton, talks about the fact that the church services in America have become entertainment-focused. Worshippers are uncommitted spectators who silently are grading the performance. The unspoken but increasingly common assumption in today's Christianity, and I will say that in America, the community is worship primarily is for us and to meet our needs. Many times we ask the question today, what did you think of the service? When maybe the real question we should be asking is, what did God think of the service today and those who worshiped him? Our main objective should be worship in spirit and in truth. It's not about us. And if you would, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 23 and 24 tonight. But I want to look at the definition of worship. The expression of reverence and adoration to God. Now, when we look at the Old Testament, there was a time when between Abraham and Ezra, about 1,500 years there, that there were many changes from the form of worship with the ancient Israel. Adam was a wandering nomad that would build altars and make sacrifice whenever God had appeared to him. When the time of the tabernacle, when Moses come on the scene, Moses built the tabernacle, or had the children of Israel help him with building the tabernacle. Following that, Solomon built the lavish temple in Jerusalem, which was to be the place where God would come and and allow the children of Israel to worship. And the form of worship has changed over the centuries and time, but the fact is that the heart centeredness did not. God revealed himself to Abraham, promised that his children would inherit the land of Canaan. Abraham demonstrated his faith through prayers and sacrifice. And throughout the biblical period, listening to God's word, Abraham did what God had commanded him. Modern people tend to restrict worship to what happens in church and on Sunday. Ancient Israel had a much broader concept of worship, offering on the Sabbaths, on great festivals. Worship was both an individual as a family and as a nation. So let's take a few minutes and look at this topic and help us in our worship as well as our walk with Christ. God-centered worship. John 3, says, but come, the hour is coming and now is when the true ones will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So what I want to do is break down the two aspects here of spirit and truth. God seeks worshipers. We must understand, first of all, that it's a priority. Luke 10, verses 41 and 42 state, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are worried. You are worried and troubled about many things. One thing is needed. Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen the good part. Another way to put it is, Mary has chosen what is better. God desires worship above all else. If we look at the Old Testament, we can see that emphasis throughout the Old Testament. God spent whole books on building the worship center. He even gave us a songbook of 150 songs in it. Even throughout eternity, God will be our center focus in worship and praise. Revelation 19:16. Revelation, and even David made reference to this tonight in call to worship. Revelation 5:12 says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor. Revelation 19:1, and these things I heard with a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation, glory, and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Matthew 18, verse 20, talks about Jesus being in the midst. An author and pastor, Kent Hughes, stated this. He, Jesus, treads the aisles of the church and sits beside us. He searches for those who worship in spirit and in truth. He desires our praise. So God desires our praise, and it's a priority we must truthfully answer. Do we worship as He desires? If worship is what God desires, what do we do? And here's a number of things. As I was going through this, realizing that there's a number of things that we can do, because I think a lot of times, and I have done this so often in my own heart and life, we come into the worship service, or even in our personal time, I find myself rushing because my mind is already thinking about things of work, and I can't get myself focused back to reading the Word like I need to. Come in here, and we sit down, and okay. What are we prepared? And that's the first one that I want to look at. Doing God-centered worship. How do we do God-centered worship? Preparation is number one. Worship doesn't just happen. Expect the person leading worship and the pastor to do all the preparation. Sunday is typically a busy day for catch up and get all the items done during the week that we didn't get, or doing the things that we didn't get done during the week done on Saturday. So when our at least for me, when my head hits a pillow Saturday night, I'm out until the alarm comes on. Am I prepared for the Lord's day? I need to give myself enough time at the end of the day to get ready for church. Go to bed at a reasonable hour. Pray for the Lord's day, for the music, for the service, for the pastor, for our church family, for myself. So when I was doing this preparation for worship, what did this look like in the Hemis household? And I have to say, it goes back and forth, but I will have to say in the past 12, 13 years, I think it has been more focused towards worship. We tried to some degree have a routine that got us to the services on time, but I would have to say it wasn't a matter of true focus on our time here for worship or even my personal time. Cindy did a good job with getting the kids ready, instructing me in getting the meal ready. And that was somewhat preparation. But the fact is that, as I said earlier, worship doesn't just happen. I think the Puritans understood this well, this concept of preparing for worship. Puritan George Sweenuck stated this. It's the English, bear with me here. If thou wouldest thus leave thy heart with God on Saturday night, thou shouldest find it with him in the Lord's morning day. So I think there's, I think there's a good concept here, being prepared for what God has for us as we prepare for the Lord's day and even for our personal time. Doing God-centered worship, number one, preparation, and number two, expectancy. There's something different about corporate worship. We need to come with a heart prepared for worship. I love to sing. I love it to do it in the car at home. There's times when Cindy comes home and I have the sound system on, either doing something, and she comes in and I can't even hear because I've got it turned up quite loud because I love music. I love to sing. But congregational worship brings an intensity that doesn't happen with personal worship. It's interesting to note on a sad level that a mob tends to descend to much deeper level of cruelty than an individual by themselves would do. And so take that to the congregational worship brings more intensity that does not happen in personal worship. We can come with great expectations. We can experience what God and we can give back to him. And that goes along with this John 20:24, we are to worship in spirit. True worship flows from the inside out. Worship starts from within and it is expressed outwardly. Jesus quoted Isaiah in Mark 7, 6 and 7, warning the Pharisees that you honor me with but your heart is far from me. It goes back to the basic question, why did God create man? To glorify him. Man was designed to worship. And that worship then is to glorify God. Another quote, Matthew Henry stated this, the spirit or the soul of man, as influenced by the Holy Spirit, must worship God and have communion with him. Spiritual affection, as shown in fervent prayers, supplications, and thanksgiving, form a worship that is an upright heart in which God delights and is glorified. John Wesley says this, the true worshiper shall worship the Father, not here or there only, but at all times and in all places. So I think that everything we do is worship. And the second part of John 4:24 is we worship in truth. We have God's word to help us know God. In a sense, our worship is governed by what we know and believe. So the more we know of God's truth, the better we can worship. And I think that goes into this next aspect of, you know, not only do we want to be prepared and have an expectation, but the discipline of worship. So let's look at the meaning once again. The New Testament word for worship is lateru, which means minister or serve. This says that to me that worship gives honor or reverence. I have stated many times in our Sunday school times together that God made us to glorify him and serve others. We are here to give God honor, give him worthy worship. To me, that means that worship is work. I really think in my own heart and life that so many times I come to the service not prepared. And I think what I get out of it is many times what I put into it. And I think as a congregation, as we look at this aspect of the discipline that comes in worship, we will only get out what we put into it. I stated earlier, too, that the person leading worship and the pastor are prepared, but we need to also come prepared. Worship requires discipline. We are to worship the Lord and Savior together in spirit and in truth. It's impossible without discipline. We must work, preach to ourselves in preparation for our time together. This will not happen 30 seconds after we sit down in the auditorium. In order to help us with our worship services, pastor and the team have put together a means in which, and I think as I thought about this, one of the things that I think has been, as long as I can remember, praise the Lord, I was raised in a Christian home and was always in church. And church always started with a prelude. And Bob has been gracious over the years to minister with the piano. And it ends up, I think, one of those areas where we have a great group of family here that gets around to talk each other. But I think there's also an aspect of that to maybe even sit down in our chair and spend time with the Lord for a few minutes in the rush of the morning. Praying for pastor, for Dan as he leads, for the praise team as they minister through the songs and have practiced. Also, scripture reading, our call to worship, our songs of worship, our prayer of confession, scripture reading, the songs of confession, the song of anticipation, even our worship and giving, our children's time, the pastor's message. All these are part of the order in which we've the pastor and team have put together to help us in our worship. Even the song of response, I know in the past there's always been, in other churches I've been a part of, even the song of response is an invitation time, and pastor has mentioned that. You know, stay in your seat, or stay seated, bow your head, pray, whatever God's convicted you on to help you in glorifying him and honoring him through. I think a lot of times, one thing that I, when I was a part of ministry at Calvary, one of the things we had there at one time was, never forgotten this, when Life Action was there, one of the things one of the men said is, when God has spoken to your heart, obey. You know, we teach our children to obey right away. That goes for us adults as well. When the Spirit of the Lord is working in your heart, it's important to respond in a way that helps. And maybe that one way is to sit there in the pew or in the chair and confess and ask God to help in that time of struggle or that time when God is working in your heart to bring repentance to your heart and life. So there's so many things that's part of our worship time that it's truly not about us. I think our mindset here in America has totally been, as the culture goes, so has the church. And unfortunately, I see the fact that it has in many churches that I've visited, that it truly was about a performance and not to, and an entertainment versus glorifying God with our lives. And it truly is an outward expression to God of what he's done for us. St. Augustine stated this, "A Christian should be an alleluia from head to toe." So the question that I asked in the beginning was, what is worship? Why did I come to worship? Was it out of guilt or habit? Or did I come today truly to worship and glorify our Savior? Let's discipline ourselves for the purpose of worship. Let's take just a few minutes and break up into small prayer groups. I think that what I'd like to focus our time on is actually two things. We were talking about it today. I don't know how many know, but July of 2009, the same thing that Darren is going through. I didn't have a stroke, but I had an aneurysm that was ready to burst. We were in Florida. And so today brings, or this weekend has brought back for my family a lot of the same thoughts and fears that I know the Duries are going through right now, and I'd like to at least spend some of our prayer time praying for Carla and the kids, Timothy and Kendra, Shelley, Lord, that they God would meet them in this struggle, as well as pray for each other in how we come to worship, and that our lives truly would glorify. I do love how we worship here, but I think it's a good reminder for us. It was for me, because I so often, in the hustle and bustle of a week, neglect what I should be doing in worship. And so let's take our time tonight and do that, and then I'll close after a few minutes. Lord, we indeed come before you tonight, praising you for today. God, even as we think about what happened today and the order of service and the things that happened, the message that was spoke this morning, this weekend didn't catch you by surprise. Even the songs, "Thy Will Be Done." God, we are grateful for your grace and mercy to each one of us. Lord, as we go through this week, I pray that you would help us in all that we do, knowing that those around us watch. God, that you would be glorified in all that we do and say. Thank you for our time today. Thank you for each one that's been a part of the service today. And Lord, even as we go about our duties, even tonight and the rest of the week, God, that you would be honored and glorified. Lord, I pray, this has already been prayed, that you would be with the Darren family. And Lord, that the Duries would, in the midst of the struggles of life, that they would trust you. And Lord, that your peace would be upon them in this time. Thank you for what you're going to do now. Bless the rest of this evening now, in Jesus' name, amen.